First Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's first read from verses 1 to verse 7. Rachel, can you hear me? No. Mrs. Sixton, can you hear me? Just a fraction of. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have around your word. And I pray, Spirit of God, that you would open the hearts of each young person here and each adult. Father, I pray that you will just help us to see the importance of the topic that we will be speaking about tonight. I ask and pray, Father, that you will do a mighty work. And we thank you, Father, for the work that you have already done. And Lord, we just look to you to do a great work. And I just pray, Father, that you will just remove me now and fill me with your Spirit and lead and guide. Hide me behind your cross, I pray. For it's in Jesus' name I do ask. Amen. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Here Paul was writing to the church there at Thessalonica, and he was saying to them, I plead with you, brethren, I beseech with you, and I exhort you, and I encourage you. So he's pleading with them, and he's encouraging them, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. He's saying to them, you know, we've told you how you need to walk, how you can please God. And I want you, I want to encourage you, and I'm pleading with you now that you will abound more and more in this. So it won't just stop, that you will continue on further, abounding in pleasing God and walking in the way that you have been taught. And many of you do know how you need to live your life as a Christian. Many of you have faithful parents. Many of you go to faithful churches that preach the Word of God faithfully. And you know exactly what God requires of you, young person. But we need to make sure that we make a decision that we do what God tells us to do and that we abound in that. That our spiritual growth is not capped. Many of us make excuses and say, you know what, I go to church, I go to door knocking, I go to Wednesday night prayer meeting, I'm at everything that when the church is open, I'm there. I do devotions every morning and every night. I'm there at my family time. I'm always there. I'm around all of that, and I know exactly what God wants me to do, and God is pleased. My friend, your heart is what God wants. That's all He wants. You can be in church every time the door is open. You can dress right. You can say the right things. And your heart can be so far away from God. And that's all God is seeing. He's not seeing what the outside, what man is seeing. He's not pleased with all of that. That's just works to God. But what God is pleased with is when He sees a heart that is fully surrendered to Him, completely given to Him. Young person, where is your heart this evening? Where is your heart this evening? Paul was saying that he wants them to grow so you would abound more and more. He wants them to abound more and more, grow more and more. You know what the most blessed thing about being a Christian is? That I can never know enough about my God. I can, it's like reading the scriptures and studying the scriptures is like taking a shovel and just digging and finding gold every time you dig and keep digging and keep digging and keep digging and finding gold. And do you know what? It's never ending. My God is so big. So strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. We sing that as a Sunday school song, do we not? How awesome is our God? How wonderful is our God? And brethren, our heart is given to everything in this world, but one thing that we don't give our heart to is God. Our God is greater than anything in this world, young person. And it's time that young people wake out of their sleep and see that God is great. God is wonderful. There's no word that I can say now to explain how God is. How do you view God in your life? Where is your heart? Where is your heart this evening? And as Paul encourages the church there at Thessalonica, he's desiring that they grow more and more, that they please God and that they walk in the way that they have learned. But one thing that he points out here is so important that we need to understand and look at tonight. He says in verse 2, "For ye know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." There is no coincidence that Paul is writing, he's moved by the Holy Spirit and he's writing this. And he's saying to the churches there, he's saying, "I want you to grow and grow more and more." But then he says, this is not my commandment, but the commandment that the Lord gave. And he says that you need to abstain from fornication, from immoral, from sexual sin. He's saying, abstain from it. And when the scriptures teach abstain, it means to hold oneself off. Because our desires are continuously going one direction. And when God tells us to abstain, we need to hold ourselves off. By His power, we need to stay away. And the scriptures teach many things about abstaining. And tonight, we're going to talk about abstaining to be holy. There's some things in our lives that we need to say no to. And we need to make a decision about tonight, so that we don't fall into the temptation of the devil, of the world and the flesh. That we say no before the temptation comes, or before the trial is placed before us. We've already made up our mind. Turn with me, please, to Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, and said, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." I want to look at this thing that when Daniel purposed in his heart. You know, Daniel was taken into captivity, and he made a decision that he's not going to defile himself. He's not going to corrupt himself. Because it was part of the Jewish culture that they could not eat meat that were offered to idols. And when they went to the heathen land into Babylon, there was meat and wine that was offered to idols. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And the thing is, brethren, Daniel did not decide this when he was in captivity. Daniel decided this when he was at home, when he was trained, when he was in the Word of God, when his parents taught him. He was purposed in his heart long before this trial came, I believe. Do you know why? Because he was taught, don't abstain. Abstain from this. Abstain from that. Abstain from this. And do you know what he did? He purposed in his heart. And he drew his decision at the door. He made his decision and he left it at the door. This is drew his line and he said, this is what I'm going to do. And then when he walked into that temptation, when that trial came, he said, I made that decision back there. I made that decision and I purposed in my heart that I would not defile myself. That's why he could stand strong and say, I'm not going to do that. Brethren, the Bible teaches abstain. And back in our text, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, many people say, you know what? What Mr. O was saying this morning was so true. That we don't think. We don't think. And when a trial and a testing comes in our lives and we need to make a decision, we make it there and then. Why don't we think about the things that God tells us to do, make decisions, seal the envelope, and thank you very much, that's what I'm going to do by His grace. How about you make those decisions? This is what camp is all about. Brethren, the camp is about you making decisions. You making decisions for God. You surrendering your heart to God and going forth and serving God with all your being. That's what it's all about. You know what? If you come to camp for any other reasons than to hear from God, I challenge you, pray before you come to next year's camp and say, Lord, I'm coming with my plate empty. Fill it with your word. That's all. I know you come for the fellowship. I know you come for to make friends and all the rest of it. But brethren, this is what camp is all about. It's about the word of God, getting away with God's people, being surrounded by the word of God, being encouraged and ready to go and fight when you return back to your homes for the year. And the Bible says here that we need to abstain from fornication. We live in a day where in teenage lives that it's just free for all. Do whatever makes you feel good. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the world teaches. I always say that's what the Bible teaches. I love the Word of God. But the thing is, at the end of the day, the world is teaching you. If you want to lose your purity, it's not purity anymore. You go out and do whatever you want. When you meet that person that you fall in love with, it's not love, it's lust. You go all the way with them. You go to school and you're laughed at and you're mocked at because you're still a virgin, because you're still pure. What is that all about? And brethren, if you're not at school and you're homeschooled, you better thank the Lord every day that you're not faced with that at school. You know you're picked on if you don't have a girlfriend at school? Or a boyfriend at school? There are people as young as 12 and 13 year olds that have lost their purity, young people. And that's why the scriptures are teaching, abstain. Abstain from fornication. Abstain. And you better thank the Lord that you are not in that kind of environment where you've had the opportunity to. And that's why the warning of God is so clear. And will you make that decision like Daniel made that decision? And will you purpose in your heart tonight to abstain from all forms of fornication? All of it. Say, Lord, I give you my eyes, I give you my hands, I give you my body, I give you my heart. Everything is for you, Lord. That's all you want to give. Give God everything. And let Him take care of the rest. Abstain from fornication, the scriptures teach. Let's go, please, to chapter 5. Before we go to the next thing that we need to abstain from, I want to share something with you. I started doing some work with some young people who don't know the Lord. And in the last 3 weeks, I've met some young people who have ruined their lives. And I always thought, you know, the devil, he's out to get them. But do you know what the devil does? The devil feeds you. He tempts you. Right? And then he leads you to a certain point, and then he leaves you up to yourself. And then the flesh will get in the way and the devil will take over, and that's it. You're destroyed. You're consumed. I met a young girl this week, a young lady who was 17 years old, and she's 3 weeks pregnant. Why? Because she didn't abstain from fornication. I met this person who has a 2-year-old daughter, 2-year-old daughter, and they're 17 years old. How old were they when they got pregnant? And the Bible is saying, abstain from fornication. How simple is that? And young person, you may say, oh, this is not for me. Yes, it is for you. Because you can be exactly like those people. Because you are part of this world. Because you have your flesh and you've got the devil to take, to that you've got a target. And the devil wants to attack you. So time to wake up, brethren. Time to wake up. Abstain from fornication. The next thing we see is abstain from all appearance of evil. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Verse 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. And it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. How simple is that? But the Bible says that we need to abstain from all appearance of evil. So that means what appears to be evil we need to abstain from. How many things in my life and in your life that are borderline evil? The things that are displeasing to God. And we may say borderline. It's borderline. oh, you know, it's not what God wants me to do, but you know what, I think it's okay. It says to abstain from all appearances. So everything that looks evil, you need to abstain from. You need to stay away from. It's as simple as that. And many young people are in the front garden, so to speak. Someone gave me this illustration and he was saying that, you know what Christians are like? Young people, young Christians, and especially adults as well, they're in the devil's garden. The devil has a front yard, he has a house, and he has a backyard. And where his front yard looks very pleasing, it's got nice flowers, it's got a beautiful picket fence, and his front door looks so appealing. And the sun is always shining there. And you know what God's people are doing? God's people are playing in the front yard of the devil. They're already in his property, but they're saying, do you know what? I go to church, I do this, I do that, I'm justified in my actions now. And when the Bible says abstain from all appearances of evil, do what I'm doing, I'm going to disobey that. Because I'm enjoying playing in the front yard of the devil. What is it in your life that appears to be evil and that you're not abstaining from? Listen to me, young people. Look up here and open. I want to see your eyeballs. Nobody falling asleep. Nobody falling asleep. Social media is evil. I'm going to say it straight. Okay? Facebook is evil. You read the accounts. Listen. Oh, it's a bit extreme. It's a bit extreme, I know. And smile. It's funny because Mr. Jason is a bit extreme. But do you know what? God hates evil. And do you know what the devil has done? He's deceived us. He's made us think that it's okay. Some things are okay to be a part of because it's the way the culture is. It's the way the society is. But it's not right. It's not right, young person. You know what? There's this thing called Snapchat. You know what? I hate Snapchat. You know why I hate Snapchat? Because, you know, men, it takes one harlot that you know to send you a photo of her in the nude. And you know what that photo? It lasts for like 6 seconds or whatever, how long it lasts. And you know what it will do? It will scar your mind forever. It will be in your mind for all your life. Unless you get dementia or something. It's going to be in your mind no matter what. And it's truth. It's truth. You laugh. It's truth. And the thing is, we are playing with evil. We are playing in the front yards of the devil and we're just so blasé about it. We're even skipping in the front yard and we're like picking his flowers and everything. Really? And we just laugh about it. We laugh about it. I know. It sounds crazy because you know what? Young person, do you know why it sounds crazy? Because the devil has already blinded your eyes. If we 100 years ago said that, oh, this is the way that people are going to dress in the world. This is the way they're going to talk. This is the way they're going to act. This is the way they're going to do business. This is the way they're going to live their lives. They're going to say, wow, that's wicked. That's absolutely insane. We don't do things this way. That's the devil's playground. But all of a sudden, culture and the world and the devil has just polluted our minds. And young person, it's time that we awake, wake out of sleep and see what is evil and what is not. And you say, oh, Facebook, you know what? You can use Facebook for God's glory. I understand that. Okay? But if everything that you are posting is all about Christ, praise the Lord for that. But do you know what? When your young person gets into social media, it's all about me, myself, and I, and that's all I'm focused upon. That's what it's all about. You take selfies and you go, oh, this is what I'm eating, this is what I'm doing. Where's Christ in all of that? Really, where's Christ in all of that? You think the Lord is sitting on his throne and he's so happy about you sending selfies to every single friend that you have? And ladies, you posing certain ways that is appealing to men and in worldly postures, and you think it's all right? Abstain from all appearances of evil. And I'm preaching hard about this. Do you know why? Because Facebook, Snapchat, and all the rest of it, they ruin lives. They do. Do the research, young person. Do the research. Abstain from all appearances of evil. You can choose to be like Daniel and draw the line at the door and say, I'm going to abstain from all appearances of evil. You know what? These things, they become a god. My mobile phone, I realize, has become a god to me. I feel lost without it. I came to camp and I had no reception. I was spewing. I have no reception. I can't check my email. I can't do this. I can't call that. What happens if somebody needs to call me? It's become my God. It has. And then like, oh, I'm walking. I want to take a picture. I'm going for my phone. I'm like, I don't even have my phone on me. It's become my God. And what you're saying, oh, Mr. Jason's being extreme. Do you know what? I'm not being extreme. The Bible says that we should have no other gods except for God, Him alone. And we should make no idols. And we have so many idols in our heart, young people, that we just need to set aside. Set aside tonight and say, Lord, here's my life. I want to go against what the world is saying. And I want to stand up for Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. And these social media things that you have, you know in your heart whether you're using it for good or for evil. Come on. But I'm going to preach against it. Do you know why? Because I want to take the higher ground when it comes to serving the Lord. And I want to make sure that the warning is there, because the world's not going to tell you about it. So I'll look like the geek and I'll tell you about it. I'm happy with that. But as long as you know about it and you've been warned, you know what? You can decide, because the ball's in your court. You see how you're using that, and you say whether it's glorifying God or not, and you make the decision for yourself. Because that's all it's about. I can stand here and I can say, abstain from all appearance of evil, because God says it, and this is what's evil in today's society, so you choose whether you want to accept it or not. Make a decision, young person. It's as simple as that.
Let's go to 1 Peter, please.
I'll tell you how Facebook is evil. Okay? And listen very carefully. Maybe you don't use it this way. There's this thing that's gone viral. And it's called, and I'm going to educate you a little bit on the wickedness of this world. It's called, it's like a global challenge, right? I get my phone, I have alcohol, so I could have like 2 bottles of alcohol and a friend filming me. Okay? And I would get him to film me, and I will drink that alcohol. And then, you know what I'll be doing? I'll post on my Facebook for somebody to challenge me. To drink more alcohol than I can consume, and then you've won. And do you know what happens? That next person challenges the next person, and the whole world is doing it right now. And this is the new thing. It's fresh on the scene. It's been probably a week old, and everybody's doing it. So do you know what? If I were to challenge someone about it, I'll just post it on my Facebook and I send it to a friend and I say, I'm challenging this person on the video. And then in a couple of hours, this person has posted another thing up and he's drinking this much alcohol and he's like, oh, I challenge this person. And the cycle goes on, and Facebook isn't evil. You've got people that are drinking, that are destroying their lives, and when they're drunk, they go and do things that are displeasing to God, and you're saying that Mr. Jason's being a bit extreme. And this thing has gone global. It's all throughout the world right now. I saw a video, and I'm watching this. Do you know why? Because I'm doing research, because I'm sick and tired of the devil's crowd standing up and saying, this is what we do, but I'm going to stand up for God and I'm going to say, I'm going to preach against that stuff because that's rubbish and it's displeasing to God. And that's what young people, and we need a generation of young people that will stand up for God and not laugh when somebody says Facebook is evil. It is. If something is promoting drinking and the sin that comes with alcohol, then how? How is that pleasing to God? And the next thing we see here, a thing that is promoting self, the third point we see is abstain from fleshly lusts. From fleshly lusts. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversations honest among the Gentiles. That whereas They speak against you as evildoers. They may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. It says here that we need to abstain from fleshly lusts. Everything that our flesh desires, we need to abstain from. And brethren, our flesh desires it. Our flesh desires the whole, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You know what? Our flesh desires that we are known. Our flesh desires that we have 400 friends or 2,000 friends. Our flesh desires that people tap a picture and say, I like it on Instagram. You know, our flesh does desire it, to be honest. And the Bible here just teaches very simply, very, very simply, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, I plead with you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And he's just specifying that they're strangers and pilgrims. You know, we went to Japan. We went to Japan on a missions trip, a few of us from our church. And the Evanses were there, and most of you know them. And we were ministering with them for a couple of weeks. And do you know what the children were telling me? That the Japanese people, they call them aliens. They call them aliens because they're not Japanese. And it's interesting to know that. And I say, as Christians here, the Bible's telling, we're strangers and pilgrims. We're going to have to be different. We're not part of this world, brethren. Let's go to 1 John. 2. We need to be aliens in the eyes of the world. Really. We need young people that will stand up for God and not care about the mocking. You know, I love going out witnessing on the street. Because when people mock, my heart just goes out for them and I say, do you know what? They can call me any name that they want to call me. But as long as they don't go to hell, I don't care if they spit on me or punch me. I don't care. Just please, Lord, don't let them go to hell. That's what it is. And they're going to call me a geek. And they're going to call me a Bible basher and a Jesus lover. I don't care what they call me. I don't care what they call me. I'm doing my Father's work. You need to just be like that. Die to reputation. Die to self. Die to everything. And say, I'm a stranger and pilgrim. I'm just passing through and this is not my life. This is not my world. I've got a mansion in heaven. And that's what we need to be focused on eternity, young people. Focused on eternity. It says here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know what the most important thing is? Doing the will of God. It's doing the will of God, and it says here the lust. The fleshly lust of this world is going to pass away. It's not going to go into eternity. And what you do with your life, young person, look up here. I'm not finished yet. Look up here, please. What you do with your life for the Lord is the most important thing. That's what will count for eternity. That's what will last forever. That's what will last forever. 2 Corinthians, please. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. The Bible says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The Bible is saying, come out from among them. Young person, come out from the world. You're not part of the world. Come out, come out. Why are you so in love with the world? I can see this Jesus saying, why are you in love with the world? Did I not die for you? Do I not love you? Why is your devotion to anything else but me? Why? Listen carefully. In our text,
In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." And if we need to be the holy people of God, we need to abstain from things in our lives. We need to abstain from fornication. We need to abstain from all appearances of evil. And we need to abstain from fleshly lust. These three things that we need to abstain from. And young person, would you decide tonight to abstain from those three things? To say, "Lord, I'm just going to give you my life. I'm going to abstain from fornication. I'm going to make a decision tonight to be pure until you send me my wife or my husband." Because that's one thing, your purity is one thing that you cannot get back, young person. It cannot. And although God is, He is a forgiving God and He's a loving God, and if you've made that mistake or if you've made that decision to go that way, you know what? You can always repent. I think of the prodigal son who said to his father, give me half of my inheritance that I may go. And his father said, "Okay, take it." And he probably knew what his son was going to do, and he loved him, but he let him go. And we know the story, how his son, he went and he spent all his substance on righteous living, the scriptures teach. He wasted his life, and then he ended up feeding swine, and then he ended up eating from the food of that the swine fed off. And all of this thing, and then he came to himself, the scriptures teach. He came to himself, and he said, "Why am I doing this? If my father is so well off, I'm going to go back to my father. I could be a servant in his house, but I'm going to go back." And you know what the response was? And I love it. Because, you know what? The scriptures teach, the father was afar off and he saw his son. The father was waiting. He was waiting for his son to come home. And Christian, I don't know how far away you are from God. And I don't know if you've fallen into the sin of fornication. And I don't know what you've been involved in, but the Father is always there and He wants to take you back. He loves you and He wants to hug you and He wants to kiss you. Do you know what? God, our God is so gracious, and there is always a second chance with God. There is always hope, but there's no second chance when you die. But now, on this side of eternity, there is hope. Will you repent of your ways and come to the loving Father? And if you haven't made that decision, young person, to keep yourself pure, I encourage you, just make that decision tonight. You know why? Because when the moment comes, and you're in that moment with that person of the opposite gender, you know what? If you have not made that decision at the door, and if you haven't purposed in your heart, I'm telling you, right now, you will take that step and fall into sin. You think, I'm stronger than that. But if you haven't drawn the line at the door, do you know what? You're not stronger than that. And by God's grace, you will stand as soon as you are bold enough and say, "Lord, I'm going to make that decision." And will you make that decision to abstain from all appearances of evil? And will you make that decision to abstain from the fleshly lusts, the lusts, your own desires, your own wants, and give it all to God and say, "God, use me, do whatever you want with me." We need a generation that will surrender to the Lord. And young person, look up here. We've got a couple of minutes. Will you just say tonight, "God, take my life. I don't care what you do with it, take it." You know what? I always was so scared to pray that prayer. I was so scared to pray that prayer because I'm saying, "Oh, well, what happens if God makes me sick? Or what happens if God does this? And what happens if God does that?" But my God, He is God. And as soon as I give Him my life, which was not even mine, it was bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As soon as I gave Him my life, I felt like, do you know what? I'm taking my hands off the steering wheel of my life and I'm letting the Lord Jesus Christ drive, so to speak. He's in control. And you know what? The peace and the joy that you feel when you make that decision. Give your life to the Lord. Surrender it completely to Him. And let Him take care of the rest. So will you make that decision tonight, young person? Let's close our service in prayer.
Father, I pray that you help these young lives, these precious souls, Father, not to reject or not to harden their hearts, Father, to your voice. And I pray that they will surrender their beings. Lord, that from our midst you'll raise up an army that will just serve you and love you and go fight for you, spreading your word throughout Australia, Lord, and the world. I pray, Father, that from our midst that you raise up laborers and send them into your harvest field. Lord, people that won't be desirous of the things of this world, but, Father, will just desire to please you and walk with you. Father, I pray that you have your will and your way in each of their hearts. For it's in Jesus' name I do ask. Amen.